everybody. Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. We are so excited to wish you all happy Valentine's Day. This is our February-ish episode of On Friendship, and we are going to be talking about the very, very romantic film, Very, Very Valentine. And I am filmmaker Rachel Wagner, and Dr. Lisa Lucas is here.
How very. Hello, everyone.
Yes. Happy Valentine's Day.
Yes,
thank you. So I hope that everybody is feeling loved and happy today. Mm-hmm. And if not, you can go watch Very, Very Valentine.
Absolutely.
Perfect. And this, it's interesting because this year they changed from being Countdown to Valentine's Day to being Love Ever After.
Oh.
Yeah, I know. Which makes a lot of sense, really, because the problem with Countdown to Valentine's is that you really only can have two movies.
Well,
because yeah. It's the 14th. And so changing it to Love Ever After, it allowed them to have additional movies.
Oh, they're so smart.
Yeah, so it was pretty smart.
And it worked out well for everyone, right? More movies.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So this was still when it was a part of Countdown to Valentine's Day. Mm-hmm. And this was released in 2018. Mm. And it stars one of the queens of Hallmark, Danica McKellar.
Love her.
Yes. And then, of course, one of the kings of Hallmark, Cameron Matheson.
Very handsome.
And it's kind of fun that they involved dance a little bit in this because both of them have been on Dancing with the Stars.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, that's I'm only familiar with that show from commercials.
Yeah, I think
it looks like a lot of hard work, so they got to show it off what they learned and what they did, right?
Yeah, and I think that, if I'm not mistaken, that Danica got to be Belle in the Disney night. I could be wrong about that, but I feel like that was true.
It would have been perfect.
Belle dress. Yeah,
she looks like Belle.
I used to be really into Dancing with the Stars, but like so many things, I've had to cut because I just don't have time. And Dancing with the Stars is a big time suck because they have the competition, mm-hmm. then they have the results show, and then they have, I mean, it's just, that's why I couldn't watch Big Brother anymore. I'm like, I just don't have time.
Do you have time for Survivor, or have you cut that one out too?
I didn't watch it last season because I was really mad at them.
Yeah, but no, that was a tough one. But this season is...
I can't resist. So we're here to talk about Very, Very Valentine. And so this movie is pretty simple premise. When florist Helen, played by Danica McKellar, meets a dreamy mystery man, played by Damon Runyon, at a masquerade ball, she and her friend Henry set out to find him. So what were your overall thoughts about this one? What do you think?
I think there was a lot of cute things, but I was like, you're basically right off the bat when she met the mystery man, I'm like, that's basically Henry. You're looking for Henry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And she just needed a friend there to be like, hey girl, you thought that was Henry. Yeah. So I think that's who you're looking for. But I did like, and now keep in mind, listeners, that I grew up on Lifetime. So most of the Hallmark movies I have seen have been to talk about it with Rachel for the podcast or some with my mom, right? Whenever I've been home. And so I can't remember a movie that I've seen with a florist. And so I liked that angle. And that might be one of like the most popular, who knows? But I liked that. I wish there was a little bit more with the flower stuff at the end.
It just kind of just added.
It just in like
there.
Ended. I was like, oh, we're done. Okay. It might have been the YouTube version I watched.
Like when this first aired, we were all like so giddy about it because it's just really classic.
Yeah, it's super cute.
if you like the whole friend, the unrecognized friend trope in friend to lovers kind of trope in romances, this is pretty like hit it right out of the park.
Especially with the actors, like like when I saw who was in it, I was like, okay,
yeah,
we're not messing around.
Do you Do you think, though, that I saw some online things that felt both of these actors are too old to be playing roles like this at this point? Are you, because they're both in their 40s.
Yeah.
And so do you think that that's too old to be playing this kind of not recognizing your friend, actually?
Like, how long does it take?
been friends for 20 years.
Yeah.
And
that was the other thing. We've been friends since college. And I was like, what, like, so like 10 years ago? Like, you know, I almost wanted them to be friends since they were kids. But now that that's been brought up, now I see them as really old. I didn't quite make that.
I mean, I'm 39 myself, so I'm not throwing stones.
Yeah, no, I'm 41. And so I think the point that I take from that is, like, I understand where these people might be coming from when they say, like, they're too old for this part. If they slightly shifted the storyline, I think it would work. But the idea is that most women, I think, at the age of 40-something is probably... And not everyone, because, I mean, I'm not married. I'm not necessarily looking. I got two cats and a dog and,
right,
you know, jobs, podcasts, etc.
Same.
So it's one of those things, like, I think, though, that everyone in your life sort of might beat you over the head. Like, you're friends with him. Like, why aren't you more with him? Like,
yeah,
there would have been a whole lot more of that.
I do think there would be people that would be like, it's been 20 years.
Get it together. Like, what? Another thing was, it wasn't until he was in the coffee shop talking with the woman that worked at the flower shop, Beth, about his divorce. And I, like, either I missed it completely or I didn't realize that he had been through a divorce. Right. So I knew the storyline with, like, the flowers or a sister and him, like that, her mix up, but I missed the divorce part. Mm-hmm. And so I think that makes sense, because when he says, like, I was married and then I was divorced and then she was in a relationship, then I was in a relationship. And it's almost like maybe at the start of the movie, we might need to see one of them come out of a relationship. Mm-hmm. I think that makes it more believable for their age.
Yeah.
But just sort of like farting around for 20 years. Like, hello. Like, most people in college, when you have a guy friend, didn't you make that pact? If we're not married by 40, we'll marry.
Right. Yeah.
Now, there's a Hallmark storyline. Someone get on that.
And I think they were trying to make her appear younger by having, like, the curls around her face.
Yeah, and her hair for sure.
Yeah, and some of the things. So let's just say, like, maybe they were trying to pass her off as in her 30s and him, you know, just maybe that's what they were kind of thinking. I don't know. But anyway, it's an interesting thought. I was certainly able to suspend disbelief enough.
I didn't think about it till now. And now I can't unthink it or unthink
it. Yeah. You know, it kind of brings about, it's interesting, the whole idea we talked when I had Greg McBride on at New Year's, we talked about When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
And the whole concept of, can men and women be friends?
Yeah.
Or do do things just get in the way and it's not possible?
Yeah.
I don't know. It's sort of something to think about here.
Yeah.
But what do you think about that?
Well, so this is, you know, because I study friendship, this is one of the things that I talk about a lot in my classes. And I think particularly the cross-sex friendship with the heterosexual focus, so men and women as friends, like the When Harry Met Sally sort of storyline, I think the issue is not necessarily the couple or the friends, right? It's the pressure that they get externally. And so I think, like, everyone assumes that when you're with someone that you must be married or dating or, you know, like each other, or you're going to give it a chance at some point. So it often brings it up as like, well, it's going to be romantic, so you might as well just make it happen now. And a lot of times then people have to defend themselves and say, oh, we're just friends. And then the communication person in me is like, no, don't use the word just, because friends is equally good. Like, it's a friendship is a good relationship. Mm-hmm. So when we have to defend it and say, no, we're just friends, we're not romantic, it can sometimes make friendship seem less than. And so I think there's a lot of pressure. So I think there is some difficulties for sure. Well, is it possible? Absolutely.
I have not had that many
female
friends, I have to say, in my life.
Yeah.
I have in the last, I don't know what's it been, 4 or 5 years. I have a very good friend named Stanford who does the, over on my channel, mm-hmm. We do the Talking Disney podcast.
Nice.
And Obscure Animation, because we both have so much in common.
Yeah.
It's really, it's just perfect. We both love Disney. We both love animation.
Yeah.
We are bloggers / podcasters. He mm-hmm. has a podcast, and anyway, we just have a lot in common, and so we have a great time together. We're friends. We're both in the same religion. That helps. Yeah. But I do think, though, that I don't know if I agree that they're on the same level. I mean, when you get married, you're making a additional commitment to each other. Yeah. That's different than a friend. You're legally bound to this person in a way that is different than a friendship. But anyway.
I also think it's like to each their own. And I think like that there is something about that. I think that something that cross-sex friendships can do is provide some balance. And a lot of that, I think, though, is based on stereotypes that men and women are different, and men or women are different in a lot of ways, but they're similar in more ways, right? So but there are, I'm not saying there's no difficulties between men and women, trust me. Right. I'm just saying that there's some level of, we might seek men out to have those fun experiences or, you know, mm-hmm. be more engaged in activity, and men are more likely, say, to turn to women for social support and talking and things like that. So,
What's interesting about this movie is that both Danica's character and Cameron's character, both Henry and Helen, are both really pretty insecure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why they didn't take things to kind of the next level. They got comfortable, first of all, mm-hmm. and then like the way that he just so willingly gives all the advice and everything to
the mystery guy,
Charles. And the way that she's so insecure about naming this rose and entering the competition. I mean, they're both really pretty shy, I think. With this,
I think one of the things, like, I think it was much more clear for Danica's character as Helen to understand where she's coming from with her mother and just this idea of, like, you know, this mystery guy and that she doesn't usually take risks. So she's taking all these risks. And then when she finally takes the ultimate risk, which was probably maybe more truthful or honest or close to her heart than the other risks that she had taken that week, when she does it with her friend, it's like ultimately a problem because she said, I failed, right? So it seems like she doesn't want to fail because she doesn't want to send in the application to have her rose considered for this contest. But one of the things, so I think they make it more clear for her and that she doesn't take a lot of risk. And she also, now I would imagine in Hallmark movies, it is, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it's fairly on point for, say, like the man to ask out the woman. And so then Beth is like, you should ask out this mystery guy. And then she's in this week of sort of things have been changing. She went to this ball and she has this dress and her mom's necklace. And there's this painting that reminds her of her mom. And, you know, just like all these things are happening and it becomes sort of a point where change is going to happen. Yeah. And it's sort of what is that change going to be?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PI, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know,
trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Honestly, I would say about two-thirds of Hallmark movies, it's some version of, they don't even really ask
it just happens.
It's some version of, I knew you in high school, we're thrown back together, we have to plan this party.
Yeah, okay.
We dated at one point. And so then we have to work together.
I feel like that's one of the movies that I watched with my mom with the actress who was in Mean Girls and in Party of Five.
Lacey Chabert?
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I'm sure everyone just gasped aloud that I didn't know her name. I'm so sorry.
Which one did you watch?
I love her, though. Like, whenever, yeah, ooh. But my mom and I watched one where she goes back, and yeah, they have to, like, plan a party together. So you're exactly right. Movie I watched with my mom. Maybe we can watch her favorite Hallmark
movie. I'd totally be up for it. That would
when
be
I really told fun. Her what we were watching, she's like, I have that on my watch list for the 23rd when it's on. She has a watch list going. So,
so Henry invites her to this black and white gala. Mm-hmm. And there was a side of me that's like, son, why didn't you give her more time than that day? What on earth? Like,
why does she need weeks though? I was like, can you pull it together for like a couple days? Like, she was like, I need weeks. I'm like, what are you planning? Are you,
I mean, like, usually you'd have like at least one fitting on a dress like that.
Yeah. Oh, so, absolutely. And then like a hair appointment. And
yeah. So yeah. The day of it's asking quite a bit, but nevertheless, that's what he does.
Yeah.
And so we find out they met in college. He moved away. Then they reconnected because she accidentally delivered the wrong arrangement to him. She accidentally delivered a blue arrangement for a baby shower to him.
Well, that's what it was, I thought.
Yeah. It was seemingly super hilarious. And
I wish they would have flashed back to that. That could have been hysterical.
I know.
But if they're pushing, trying to make them look 30, there's no way that they can make them look like.
I mean, they could do what they did in Love at the Christmas Table.
Oh, goodness.
Their bangs. But
no.
But the thing that's interesting is that when her, I think it's her her aunt, mm-hmm. says, what about Henry? So great. Why don't you? And she says, true love should surprise you. So she thinks that somebody that she doesn't want that comfort, she wants the spark, you know, the kind of a thing. And so that's part of the reason why she hasn't done anything. Like, she's gotten comfortable with Henry. And
to be honest, if you're waiting for something like that to happen, it might not, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, it's like waiting for someone to come to you, you know, and so that might not be the case. So
yeah.
And it's almost like she had to spark it herself, but that maybe Henry sparked it by inviting her to this thing last minute, and her friend at the shop and her aunt not allowing her to sort of back out of it. Oh, my sister works at this place. Oh, I have something for you.
Yeah. well, and also because her parents, she says, my parents knew the moment they saw each other. And she wants that same dynamic, which is something that's totally real. That does happen to people.
Absolutely.
My aunt, Chris, and Uncle Vernon, they tell the story so funny, but he says, you know, he walked in the room, she was there, and he was like, the queen was there. I knew. I think that happens for some people. They just know.
Absolutely.
You know. And so that's what she's expecting, but that's not everybody.
Yeah.
And
if you're expecting a surprise, is it actually a surprise?
Right. Yeah. So what do you think of her dress?
I liked it. I really liked the necklace, and I really liked her mask. So.
Yeah. She said, we actually got a chance to interview, just like 15-minute interview with Danica McKellar.
Woo!
And I know, it was pretty exciting. But she said that, I guess that mask kept slipping. Mm. So it was a pain in the neck, but it did look beautiful. It was a really pretty mask. And I really liked the dress. I mean, I think it's a little strange to have black flowers. But I guess it was a black and white ball.
Yeah.
But But yeah, I really liked the dress, and I liked the whole entry mm-hmm. with all of the twinkle lights and the, you know,
the paparazzi.
There was a real sense of like a Cinderella moment for sure.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So there is something that's sort of exciting, and you think on a night like that, something exciting will happen. So if she's looking for a surprise sort of situation, this night, like coming together and how it's set up might produce that. And in a way it did. But it brought the mystery guy that essentially that Henry sort of acted through or helped through their sort of courting after the ball. So
yeah. And so she ends up thinking that this man is Henry. It turns out that it is Damon Runyon. It's Charles. And Damon Runyon is a Hall star. He's done a bunch of stuff.
I liked him.
Yeah.
And I thought he was a perfectly acceptable, what do you call it? Again, people are going to gasp when it's
the wrong guy.
Wrong guy. But yeah. Like, he was like a wrong guy, but just because timing, and obviously it was Henry, but he wasn't like any of those other guys where I was like, that guy was a narcissist. I mean, well, he seemed a little bit too much into business, but you know.
Well, and I have to, I died laughing when they're like, I want to put in condos. Like, that is such a Hallmark thing that every bad man of business wants to replace the beautiful botanic gardens with condos.
Who's gonna touch a botanical garden? Like, come on.
I know. And I don't know, that's always the answer. There's never any hero that's investing in small housing, affordable housing.
Instead of condos, like, support the botanical garden.
Yeah.
I don't know, make it better.
Yeah. I guess there actually was in Love to the Rescue, which was my favorite movie from Hallmark. Mm-hmm. all of last year.
Okay.
I loved it. The Michael Rady character in that movie, that's his like passion, is to design affordable housing. Like, I can see you are a dreamboat. but yeah, that just made me laugh whenever he's like, oh, we gotta close down the botanical gardens and put in condos.
There's gotta be a parking lot you can build on.
I know. Condos is like code for like evil. You're the worst. So
yeah, totally. But I felt like he was generally likable, except that what really made him super enticing to Helen was, first off, the mystery aspect of it, and then they're off looking for him and that sort of thing. And it's ultimately Henry who finds them randomly at a coffee truck.
Right.
And it's like everything else that he sort of interacts with her about is somehow fed to him or given to him by Henry. So I'm like, you're not even, so overall he was fine, except I was like, are you going to give someone, what he goes, I saw this book of Emily Dickinson poems and it made me think of you. And I wanted to be like, why has she ever talked about it with you? Like, I was like, I don't get it.
Well, I mean, cause he's definitely supposed to be kind of, you're supposed to look at him kind of poorly because, oh, he's taking all this from Henry, but, and he's not being authentic. And I guess there's some truth to that, but like, honestly, who, when they're just starting dating somebody, and if somebody was like, here's a hint, get this, do this.
Well, people do that all the time.
You would be like, thank you so much.
I mean, that's the thing, is we present ourselves in a positive way when we are first dating people. And so you're like, sure, I want to impress her. She wants to go to this restaurant. And I like strawberry shortcake. Let's go and try it, right?
Exactly.
If I was supposed to look at it, I'm like, really bad. It wasn't until the condo thing came in where I was like, Charles, can we have a chit chat?
Yeah, the condo thing was really gilding the lily there. That was just like Hallmark, like stamping it on.
This is not the guy.
And I have interviewed the writer of this movie, Marcy Hall, and I'll put a link down in the description if people want to hear it. She's really fun.
Awesome.
But and if you want to see a good one with Damon Runyon, you should check out One Starry Christmas. He's the lead in that one. And he's a cowboy, and he's pretty fun.
Ooh.
So I recommend that one. But
I can see him as a cowboy. I'm excited.
Yeah. But anyway.
I put it on my list.
We'd like to take a second and thank our sponsors for this episode of the podcast. They're the good folks over at HelloFresh. And they are, yes, they're America's number one meal kit. It's really exciting. They have 22 plus seasonal chef curated recipes that you get each week. And right now you can get 10 free meals. Wow. If you go to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies10 and use code Hallmarkies10, 10 free meals. And they send you all the ingredients except for like salt and pepper.
I need that because I don't know how to cook.
Yeah, it's great. And they give you a card, recipe cards that have all of the pictures so you know in between this is what it's supposed to look like. And it really gets you out of your comfort zone. And I think what you would appreciate it as a fellow single person like myself is that like one of the hard things about cooking for one person is that you like end up with all of these bottles of sauces that you only needed for like one recipe or these spices that you only need for one recipe.
Yep.
What's nice about this is that you just get enough to make that one meal. You just enough spices, just enough, you know.
You don't want to know how old my soy sauce is.
Yeah, Rachel. That's right. I know. And it saves you all the time. You don't have to go shopping. You don't have to plan the recipes. It's just there. And it gets you out of your comfort zone of cooking. Like, it gets you to try different flavors and different recipes than you might normally do. And they have different types of boxes that you can do. They have low calorie, vegetarian, family friendly, whichever one that you want to pick. And the ingredients are quality. They really focus on making the packaging sustainable and with less food waste than what you would find if you were to purchase it yourself. It's using recycling packaging. They have a carbon footprint is 25% lower than store-bought grocery made meals. Dang. So it really is a great product. It really makes for a nice, part of your lifestyle. And so definitely check it out. You go to HelloFresh.com/Hallmarkies10, use code Hallmarkies10 and get your 10 free meals. So that's definitely amazing. Check that out. You'll love it. So we, at the ball, we find out that she loves this painting of a mother and a daughter, and she tries to bid, but then she loses and she's devastated.
Yeah.
And so Henry agrees to help her to find the masked man later. And we also get like just a little bit of a romance with Aunt Carol.
Yeah.
And I loved her Aunt Carol. I thought she was so sweet. I really liked
her. I was like, I want more Aunt Carol.
Yeah, me too.
I liked Beth too. I was like, can we
Yeah, she was good.
Girl shop? I just want to hang out.
Yeah.
Teach me how to do arrangements because I don't know anything.
Yeah, because Aunt Carol, she says, I've watched you two for years and why pursue a mystery man when you've got a great guy right there?
Listen to your Aunt Carol because she raised you, so she is like a second mom. And always.
I mean, I have an Aunt Carol myself, so.
That's why I liked her more. I was like, except my Aunt Carol is like super hip and cool, like like designs her own earrings and things like that. This Aunt Carol, it just was like more. What's a word where I won't offend people? it just reminded me, like, at first I was like, is that her aunt or is like a grandma? You know what I mean? That was a little bit of that sort of like homey vibe, right? Like, I want to go have some mac and cheese at
and
her
she
house.
Kind of raised her, it seemed like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because her mom and dad both died.
Yeah.
So anyway, and let's see where we are. Henry keeps trying to get her to enter the competition. Then he runs into Charles and we find out that the gardens are closing for condos,
but she doesn't know it.
No, he can't tell her. And that's when we get this whole sort of Cyrano Bergerac kind of element to the story with Henry kind of telling Charles what to do. And I did think it was a little weird, that whole dinner scene that they have with Charles, Henry, Aunt Carol, Beth, and like It was just a little awkward, awkward group of people I felt.
Well, I was like, okay, so I have a couple truths to reveal, or some thoughts I had that I need to reveal to everyone.
Yeah.
Number one, when he tried to get her to enter the contest, and then I heard that the Botanical Gardens was closing and that he'd been working on some things to get it fixed, this Lifetime person in me was like, he's about to use and abuse her to keep the Botanical Gardens. He is going to use that mystery rose to keep his Botanical Gardens alive. And I had like a total Lifetime vibe. And yeah. I was like, Alisa, you're watching Hallmark. No.
Yeah.
But
this is not on Hallmark Movies and Mysteries. This is on a regular Hallmark channel.
Well, but then I was like, something about like the fact that he wouldn't tell her about what was happening kind of bothered me, because generally, and not always, but generally we are able to talk to our friends about the things, no matter if they're good or bad, or that, you know, and I don't think it was a good night to be like, let's do it right when we're in the kitchen, when we're having people over.
And he was being kind of a butt too, because he's like, you don't like playing poker. You don't like carrot cake. And it's like, come on, dude. Like, she's just trying to.
But she
just started dating. I mean, you can't. Everyone does that. Everyone does that at the beginning. Yeah.
But here's the thing from his point of view, though. Like, I wasn't sure. Like, I thought they were both sort of discovering each other, and it's Beth who's kind of like later, like, oh, you love her, that sort of thing. But there is something annoying when you have someone that you're really close to, like a friend, and you like, hey, let me show you how to play poker. And they're like, no, I don't want to do it. And then a year later, you're at some dinner listening to some new guy talk about how she loves poker. And you're like, really? You wouldn't do it for me?
I just remember my sister and brother-in-law. So when they were dating, like my brother-in-law was, I mean, he had very limited income as a college student, but nevertheless, he was still like super cheap. And he would, they would eat like hot dogs from the convenience store and like lots of ramen and stuff like that. And he would get these like gallon jugs of like punch and stuff that's by the milk. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then like a year after they got married, or a year or two, and somehow that got brought up, and she was like, yeah, that's so gross. And he was like, what? You don't like that? He's like, sorry, no, I was just pretending. That was really funny.
I mean, that's fair. Like, these things do happen, but I also understand that sort of like annoyance where you're like, but you didn't want to do it with me. So that I can appreciate. But I did think what was going to happen was that Charles and Beth were going to hit it off, and I'm like, I need to stop thinking through a Lifetime lens. I'm like, what is
that? But I could have seen that too. But I did really like the scene between Beth and Henry at the coffee shop. I thought that was really good, and when she sees him, and I mean, we could just talk that Cameron Matheson is so charming in this.
Yes.
Like, he is just so likable. And
he could have just stood there and breathed.
I know. Fine. He's got that smile, and just, you know, these soap opera trained actors just know how to just bring it as far as that kind of leading man material, I think.
Well, and also, I truly believe that they were friends. I think, you know what I mean? Like, that's something that is really important to me, no matter if it's a platonic friendship story or a friend to partner story like this one. But like, I have to believe that they would actually be friends. And I do. And I think part of that is the actors.
Yeah.
I do think that there should have been more of him, though. Like, in the sense of, like, we know he's going through some troubles, but like, I felt like maybe we could know a little bit more about why, like, he hasn't said anything to her, you know, those kinds of things. Because, and we'll get to it, but like, what he did on his way out of town, I was like, wait, what? That's in like 3 days or 4 days.
Right.
Like, bye. And I was like, no, that's not what friends do.
So she does find out from Charles that about the condos and the botanical gardens.
Evil.
She's horrified. And then she confronts Henry and he tells her, "I'm moving to Arizona. Got the job offer.
3 days.
Yeah. And he says, he says, "I never had a good time to tell you." And when he but I thought he did a good job though, when he gets all teary eyed and he's like, "I felt it. I felt the feels." Yeah. And I think one of them says, you're never going to lose me. He says, "Why does it feel like I already have?"
Aww,
and yeah. I know. And there was this whole like sad musical montage scene.
Yes.
And it was,
I was like, what is happening?
Yeah. And so he comes to say goodbye. And and she says, she realizes that she's in love with Henry. She tells Beth, I think. And she says, "I want to have a sign that I made the right choice."
Yeah.
And that's when the painting comes.
Yeah.
First she thinks it's from Charles. Then she realizes it's from Henry. And
she knew it was.
Yeah. You get this final scene between Henry and Charles where he's like, "What are you doing for Valentine's Day?" And Charles is like, "I don't know. We're just going to hang out." And so then we find out that Helen goes up to the owner of the to an interested bidder of the botanicals, and she's like, "You have to save it. It's so important." And she says, "Supporting the gardens is a risk. Isn't that a risk worth taking?"
Yeah. And,
she tells Charles, "You know, I have to fight for this. And Charles says, "Yeah, I kind of have to too." And so then they break up.
Yeah, because they're at the interested bidder where she's doing the flowers for his granddaughter's wedding.
Yeah.
So Charles is helping, and that's when they can have the conversation. And you know, as soon as like they're on different sides of this business deal, that it's not going to work.
Right. And so she's talking to Carol and she says, you know, that Charles was a dream, and says that's a problem with dreams. Eventually you have to wake up. Yeah. So
that's a good quote.
Yes. So then she calls Henry at the airport, and I love a good finale airport scene. That is one of my favorites.
My favorite is actually the Love Actually one, because that little kid is so cute running out.
Oh yeah. I mean, that's one of the problems with with movies in a post 9/11 world is we can't have the same.
Get their security.
It's a
challenge. You've ruined rom-com.
No. Yeah. You stole enough. Did you have to steal that? Yeah.
Exactly.
So they have to get pretty creative these days. But like, I love it in Crazy Rich Asians. I love that whole scene on the plane. I love it in just all of it. It's one of my favorites. And so she calls him and she's crying. And she says, "Is Charles really more frog than prince?" Which I think is a little unfair. Again, like, he just has his job and he's doing his job and he gets advice from somebody who's openly giving the advice. Like,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't think that he's a frog. I think that's a little harsh.
Well, and it's also like, but you are essentially like, you think you're in love with this person, but it's because he's essentially Henry without all the information about you.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so it's like, come on.
So then they have a really nice moment between her and Aunt Carol where she thanks her for basically raising her, and she's like, "It was never a burden, it was always a privilege." And one thing, so it is clear, and in some of the shots are real flowers, but some of them it's obvious they're fake flowers.
Really? I didn't notice.
Oh yeah. Yeah. And
maybe I need to clean my glasses. I was like, but, oh, those are pretty.
I'm like, if you're gonna have your movie set in a florist, you really should have real flowers.
Or just hope that you have viewers like me.
But the new order comes in, and you see she takes the order to the botanical gardens, and then
last Valentine's Day bouquet.
Right. And then, but right before that, Mr. Gregson comes to visit Aunt Carol, and that was cute.
Yeah.
Little ending. And she gets to the botanical gardens and Henry is there. And we get the super swoon-worthy ending where he proposes. And as she says, I loved you. And then I loved you then. And I love you now. He proposes and she says, you promised to hold my hand. And that was so cute, I thought.
Yeah, because that was something we haven't talked about, is that when they were in college, they were talking about at some point in the movie about how in college they would jump off a cliff, but like she didn't want to do it. Like everyone else, all their other friends jumped off it. But then at the end of the day, she did it, but because he held her hand as they jumped together.
And typically,
that was great.
Yeah, that was so cute. And typically Hallmark movies, they usually end with we're going to date or we're going to whatever. They typically don't end with the I love you anymore. And they typically don't end with a marriage proposal, certainly, anymore.
But Rachel, they're in their 40s.
But they're in their 40s. And they've been friends for so long that I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I was okay with it. I was like, I mean, maybe it's like if they were 20-something, maybe I'd be like, you might
want to
just see.
Yeah, right. I mean, I do. I think by the time you're in your 40s, you know what you want and get her done. Like,
well, I have to say, like, I was hoping that there'd be a little bit more. Like, I think the movie needed 3 to 4 more minutes.
Uh-huh.
In that, it could be like this sort of grand gesture at the botanical garden. He sent her a bouquet to like have him bouquet for herself, essentially. But bring the note. He's there. He's come back and saying like, you know, we could let's give this a go, whatever the case is. And then fast forward to the contest with the roses.
Oh yeah, I can agree with that.
Roses there with all these beautiful real/fake flowers. Maybe they didn't have enough money in the florist budget for that.
I think it would have been also really cute if they'd had one scene where he asked Aunt Carol for, you know, her hand. Yeah. That would have been so cute.
Oh, that would have been. Oh.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We have a few amendments.
Yeah, just cut out a couple advertisements. Come on.
I didn't have any on my
YouTube. Yeah. I was just saying, you know, I know they gotta cut for ads.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lots of stuff.
They have to make their money.
Add that extra scene. It would have been so cute. But yeah. I still thought it was really swoon worthy. I really enjoyed it. And I thought these two had nice chemistry.
Yeah, together. And like I thought about it generally, and like I really enjoyed it. But then that first question about how old they were,
really yeah.
I thought it was cute, like I said, and I know people are maybe like gasping again, but I love the florist. I didn't know that there were any fake flowers. I mean, I could wager a guess, but yeah. I don't know. I thought that was cute. Although yeah. I was like, are they in New York City? Cause like they would show like the bridges and buildings, and then all of a sudden we're in a, like a suburb. And I was like,
what? Yeah, I forget where they were.
In, like,
I forget
a neighborhood that I didn't get, but
yeah,
I enjoyed like you have two people who are into plants and flowers. I was like, that's cute. We're saving botanical gardens. We're bringing down the condos.
Uh-huh.
We have an aunt who raised her. Like,
it is pretty. It's pretty classic. It really is.
I really enjoyed it.
So we have some comments from our Twitter followers.
Ooh, I guess.
So first we have from our good friend Scott, a patron. He says, very, very Valentine is very, very good. You get a little Cinderella, a little Cyrano, but most importantly, you see a sweet friendship turn into true love.
Aww.
And
that was well good. Written. Wow.
Yeah, I know. Very good, Scott. Scott should be running the podcast.
I was going to say, can you write the scenes that we want to amend
yes,
for this movie?
I think so. Good. So our good friend co-host Anne, she says, I'm a sucker for best friend pining for their best friend.
Yeah.
And Cameron Matheson is a dream in this movie.
Yeah, cute.
Yeah. Amy Mick says, perfect Valentine's Day movie.
Mm-hmm.
Tawny says, this one is one of my faves. It was so cute and wholesome. Danica and Cameron had great chemistry.
Yes.
Co-host Lisa, she says, I loved it. Well, until the end.
Oh, so she didn't like the end?
She doesn't like the end.
Did she also want it to end at the rose contest? Because agreed.
Some people don't like it when it ends with the I love you. They just feel like it's too much. It's too
I did think it was an abrupt ending. Like, it just ended, and I literally thought, did my version get cut off? Mm-hmm. Like, and so I'm assuming it didn't.
But I think that it feels believable. Because they've been friends for so long. And that, like, once you finally decide. Yeah, like once you decide to go down that path, what are you waiting for? Get it done.
Exactly. I mean, I could have gone either way. Like, I thought it was fine the way it was. I would have liked a little bit longer of a closure sort of ending. But I also would have been fine if it ended with just sort of like, let's be together. So I could have gone for either. Again, I wanted to see her win the rose contest, though, or the flower contest, or competition, whatever.
So Wesley Eversole, she says, Wesley Eversole says, I love it. Danica McKellar is probably my favorite Hallmark Channel actress of all time.
Aww.
So there you go. Can't deny the appeal of Danica. And then Andrea Thatcher White says, OMG, I absolutely love this movie. I'm a huge fan of Danica McKellar and Cameron Matheson. Last is Elizabeth Marie, and she says, one of my favorites. I love friends to love stories.
Yeah, and you know, that I'm glad that these were some of the comments that people had on Twitter, because there was something I wanted to share about some of the movies we've been watching, and this one was pretty clear to me. And so so one of the things that I talk about in my classroom is something called love styles. And it was something that was developed by researchers in the 1980s. And so some people might be listening right now and being like, oh, is that like love languages? And no, they're not. Love styles, how, like, are you a romantic? Are you, you know, those sorts of things. So there's six kind, and I'll just briefly do this, Rachel. So Eros is like the head over heels, love at first sight, romantic, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
We have agape, which is like selfless love. So giving yourself all to someone. Then we have pragmatic, which is sort of like being practical, and you have sort of like a shopping list of qualities you're looking for in a partner. Then we have mania, which is sort of all consuming, dependent love. We have ludus, which is game playing or sort of like fun sort of love. Mm-hmm. And then the last style is storge, and that is friendship love. And that is people who are friends and then fall in love. And I was like, that's the storyline that's going on here, is that there are some people who might be more likely to fall in love with the people that are their friends because friendship is so important to them, or it just lies a really great foundation for those relationships. And those relationships might end up being longer because they've built that foundation on friendship before going romantic. And I just wanted to point that out, because I was like, a lot of what we watch is the storge love, and probably a lot of Eros too, the romantic head over heels sort of love.
Is that the same as agape?
Agape is selfless,
unconditional
love. One of the things I would describe, like, this refers to like romantic love, but a lot of times agape is described as it's unconditional. You'll do whatever you can for your partner. But another way it's described is sort of that unconditional love that like a mother has for a child. Like, that might be the best description of it, but in a romantic relationship, right? Like, that completely unconditional, the mother gives everything to the child.
Right, right. Very good. Very interesting.
Yeah.
No, when we do have different, you know, different styles, and you,
yes.
I mean, for me, something like this, maybe it even helps that they are older, because it's all the more sort of escapist for someone like me.
Absolutely.
I'm like 39 watching this movie. This is like, I need all the help I can get. I don't know.
You're telling me there's a chance.
Yeah, right. This one to me is a lot of fun. It was one of my favorites of that year that it aired. And I think that it's just a cute classic story. Formula really executed well, with really likable stars. All three of them, I think, are really likable.
Yes.
Damon Runyon.
I liked all the characters. There wasn't a bad character.
Yeah, you're right.
Down, for sure. Right.
So, Well, very good. So we did it. Happy Valentine's to everyone.
Wait, are we going to rate them?
Do you want to do that? I was going to ask you if you wanted to.
I have a new rating system, Rachel.
Okay, what's your new rating system?
Instead of crowns, I'm doing how many country weddings will I give it?
Okay. Yeah, so this one, I'm trying to think what I think I gave a very high score when it first came out.
Yeah.
And I think, I don't know, I'd still probably give it like a 4.25. It's pretty high. I think it's really good. I like it.
Yeah, I think I would go even higher. I'm going to give it 4.5 country weddings.
Okay. Country weddings.
It helps me frame what I'm doing.
Yeah, if people haven't listened to our ranking episodes.
Yes, exactly.
You should definitely check that out because we love country weddings.
Absolutely. That's
spoiler alert to that episode. But yeah, this one would be pretty high, I think. Probably, it would probably in my ranking, if I were going to add this one, it would probably maybe be like under Christmas Choir before 7 Year Hitch.
Yeah, I think it would be about number 6.
Yeah, same.
Like-ish. Same. Yeah. Yeah, there's still some that I enjoyed a lot more, but it was definitely a lot better than some of the other ones we watched, too.
Right, exactly. So, all right, well, very good. This was a lot of fun. So let us know if you're listening in the comment section or on Twitter what you thought of all the different things we talked about, what you think of the movie. We'd love to hear your thoughts. And Elisa, where can people find you?
Yes, I'm on Twitter at Best Forever's Pod, and you can also follow me on Instagram at Facebook with the same name. And then my personal Twitter is Dr. Elisa Lucas, and my first name only has one S. And then ElisaLucas.com should be up and running. Yay! Great.
Yeah. And you can find me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, all over the place, and on Rotten Tomatoes. Make sure to check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod and Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media and iTunes, YouTube. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. We really appreciate it. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up, subscribe to the channel. That means so much to us. We have our patron group, which is a lot of fun. And all the information is in the description section. And then we have our merch store, which has all kinds of fun stuff as well. So check that out. And let us know what you think. And happy Valentine's.
Happy Valentine's Day.
Bye.